Well, I think that we serve a great big God today. Do you believe in God? What kind of a God is He? To you, what is He? Is He capable of anything? Can He provide the necessary things of life for you? Is he the one that feeds the sparrows? Can He clothe you? Can He give you courage? Can that God give you peace? Can He calm you if you need calmed? Fire you up if you need fired up. Can He lead you in right ways? Does he know more than you do? Well, you know, you can answer all of that and say yes, but is God willing then? Is God willing? You think God's willing today to help you? Is God indifferent about you? Does He got His head turned? Does God pay attention to you? You think He knows what you're doing? You think He cares what you're doing? Does God love you? Now, when I think of all of that, I think it ought to make a difference in the way I live my life. I think that it ought to, it makes me responsible to Him. It makes me think highly of Him. I believe God is the creator of everything. And master of it all. I don't think He made it and then let it go. I think He's master of it, of the elements. Somebody said something about what are you going to get for Christmas? I said the flu. Going to Guthrie. Well, I don't know that I'm going to do it, but somebody's probably going to, because it seems like every time we come, we get sick. And I woke up this morning. Well, I went to bed last night with all through the night, little child sick, all those things. But you know, there's still a God that's in control of all diseases and sicknesses and things that God created and made, and viruses and bacterias and all of those things that God put into His world for the functioning of His world, they are still under God's control. And I believe that. And because I believe it, it makes me look at life different. My God, who loves me, I believe He loves me. I anchor on the fact that He loves me. It has been my soul, courage, comfort, and everything is that God loves me. I'll get in trouble sometimes. In my experience, I'll be honest with you, I've got before in places where I felt like I was getting in trouble. I wasn't what I should be, and all those same kind of things. Or maybe I'd say something I shouldn't have said, all those kind of things. And I get this, you ever been there kind of places? You want to anchor me every time? I go to prayer and I say, Lord, of everything I know You love me. I know You do. I know if You gave Your Son and He gave His life to die on that cross for me, You still love me. And Lord, help me here in this time. And I believe that's the God that we serve. And I'm just laying a foundation of my thought here. And because of God, because of who God is, it ought to give us the idea of perspective in life. You know, with all that God is, it really isn't fair to God that we put something ahead of him. It really isn't fair to God that we don't have him first in our lives. You know, it's pretty easy to see what you really care about in life because that's what you'll do. Do you know that? If you ever find yourself coming down on your Sunday morning services and it's time for prayer and you got to get down for prayer and you can't get your mind focused on prayer, but there's something there that you really just can't wait to do or something, you can mark that down that there's something there in your heart. That's what you want to do. And when we really put it in perspective and see, do you know God has always required first? From the very beginning, God wanted to be God to Adam and Eve. He wanted to be supreme to them. Didn't want anything else taking it. You know, just a word, this is what I'd like for you to do, should have been enough. Yes, Lord, you're God. You rule it all. You can take care of all of my needs. You're everything to me. You're Father. You know, if I need anything, God can give it to me. Anything. He should own first place in our life. I want to start with Matthew. Scripture in Matthew. 6th chapter. Familiar verses. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, let's see, 6, and I want to look back at the 25th verse. 6th chapter of Matthew says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" You know, we are in a world that is fairly unique, I think, to the history of the world, in the fact that, at least in our world, the United States, we have an abundance of both food and clothing. I mean, I have a lot of clothes. I'll be honest with you. We're given so much clothes. Clothes, clothes. We just got clothes. Clothes. If clothes gets a speck on it, you can throw it away. If it gets a thread pulled on it, well, you can throw it away. You know, that's not, everybody has not always lived that way. Food. Food. Food's everywhere. Fast food. Food. We love food. We try to put stamps for food, food for food, people for all the food we raise, all this food, and it's food. I thank God for the prosperity. But it is, our life shouldn't be about that. Clothes, food. Brother Jim White, he told us, now he got up older and was able and stuff. He had this closet full of shirts, and he used to laugh about that. But he had more shirts than he could wear. And he would get these shirts and he'd have all these shirts. And he told us one time, he said, "When I was growing up, I had 2 shirts. I had one for school and one that I worked at. Two shirts. You had to wear the one to wash the other. Two shirts is all he had. That's what he grew up with. 2 shirts. But we live in a world of many things that we can get hung up on. And folks, what I'm talking about today is a God that owns first place in our life. And we ought to be diligent today about making sure that he's got that place. He says here, if we can understand this, it's hard to understand in our day, but that it says, "Is life not more than meat, and the body raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And you know what? There's a given answer to that. That's just not a question that was left out there. The idea is that God feeds the sparrows. And that you are more important to God than the sparrows are. That God is interested in giving you the needs. And I'm glad for this scripture, because if God would feed the sparrows, He'd feed me. But let's go beyond the feeding. Not only would He feed me the natural things of life, but God will take care of my person. I am a needy person. I am a fragile individual. You understand that? I'm going to tell you, if you're not, you can excuse yourself for a moment. But me, I am fragile. There's a fine line between me being totally crazy and sane. I've seen the line there. I need God to help me. There's a fine line between this mortal living life and death. I've seen it. I've braced up to it. Most of us had somewhere or another. It's a fine line there. There's a fine line between having a good attitude and a bad one. Saying the right things and the wrong ones. Maybe you feel like you're invincible when you're out there, but I feel myself needy of the grace of God. Amen. All the time. And so I appreciate that the Lord feeds the sparrows. Because you know what sparrows go along doing? They go along, they'll eat, they'll chirp, they'll fly, they'll be a bird, they'll fulfill all it takes to be a sparrow. And God will help us fulfill everything that we're supposed to do to be a saint of God. So I'm glad that we serve a God that feeds the sparrows. And a God that I know that no matter what happens in my life, I can go to that great eternal being that created all things, owns all things, and master of all things to get help. To stay sane. Now a lot of people, I've told my wife this before, we get into these discussions, her being a woman, she's very emotional at times, different things. She knows that. I understand. She knows that. And I appear like this rock. I don't have emotions. Yes, I do. Just because I look the way, I have emotions. I tell my wife sometimes, honey, I have emotions. I just say them different than you do. I have emotions. And sometimes they get totally haywire on me. Understand what I'm saying? I'm feeling these things and all these things. You ever get in that kind of a place? You don't know how to deal with it. You don't know how to be strong. You know that? I'm glad we have a God that feeds the sparrows. And He cares more about me. You know, He can take care of my emotional needs too. Which of you taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Or which of you worrying about it can make yourself taller? Worrying about it won't help. I remember a story I heard that you're talking about. A pastor went to see a member of his congregation. The woman, I don't know if this is true or not, might be made up. I don't know. I heard the story. And the woman was a worrier. And this pastor ran on to this information that they'd done this certain study and all, and said that 87% of all the things you worry about never happens. So he took that to her to try to prove to her that, hey. And he said, they's done a study and said, yeah, I wanted to tell you, you're worrying all the time and all this. And when he said that it doesn't happen 80% of the time, she said, I knew it worked. I knew it worked. See, worrying about it didn't happen, so it must have worked. I knew it worked. No, it don't work. Who can worry about it to make yourself taller? Nobody can. Nobody can do it. But there's one that knows how to lead our lives. I'm thankful for it. And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether all shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And now here's the verse I wanted to get to. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. We was in Dallas last fall, and someone, I don't even remember who it was, gave a little exhortation about this scripture. And I've heard this scripture all my saved life. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord just inspired that little testimony to my heart. They was talking about all the things that you can do and all those things, but they reverted back to this scripture and said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it registered so much to me. You know, life is for the living. God made a good world for us to live in. He made an enjoyable things, and people run wholeheartedly after those things. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. If somebody wants, it may be a little outlandish and crazy to my mind, but if somebody wants to go to climb to the top of these mountains and get them some ropes and rappel themselves up and down those mountains and do those kind of exciting things, I don't see anything wrong with getting out there and enjoying God's good. Like I said, I wouldn't want to do it, but if they wanted to do it, I don't see anything wrong with it. As long as you seek Him first. As long as you seek first the kingdom of God. You know, there's nothing wrong. I like Brother James does too. I'm going to bring him into this. You know, we like to cast a line every once in a while. Get out there and catch some fish every once in a while, enjoy the water, enjoy the lake, and I just enjoy good company out there. It's not the same if you ain't got somebody to beat. You know, and so catch more fish than they do, and you have an enjoyment time for one another, and you know there's nothing wrong with it. If you seek you first the kingdom of God, there's nothing wrong with a lot of the activities that people get themselves involved in. There's nothing wrong with doing this and that and all those. There's nothing wrong with hobbies. There's nothing wrong with things like that. Nothing wrong with gardening. There's nothing wrong with that. But the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It just registers me. It's due to Him, folks. It's due to Him. He's God. He's our provider. He's what makes everything work. When I get my life in order, when the day is started with the Lord, Lord, I seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'd recommend everybody seek ye first the kingdom of God every morning. Start your life off. I want to tell you, my prayer in the morning is generally always, Lord, I ain't walked this day before. And it may be full of things I don't know anything about. And Lord, give me grace for this day. To whatever comes, I'll have grace to be able to face this day with. I may be sidetracked. I may be blindsided. Things may come my way. But my morning prayer is, Lord, give me grace. Give me help to be able to face it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I can get up after that. I can fill my heart with the things of God. I can seek God. I can get approval in my life. I can get grace for the day. Then I can go do the activities of the day. It's meant to live. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then what did it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then what? Benefits. You know, there's benefits to seeking first the kingdom of God. There's benefits. God provides. God works. I don't have to frustrate myself all the time with the accomplishments of life. I don't have to say, am I going to be something? Am I ever going to do something? What am I going to do? You know, all I need to do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know what I'd recommend to anybody that had a goal or desire to do some work for the Lord? You know what I would tell them? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek God. And God will open the doors of your life for you. God will put you in those kind of places. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I would have never been a preacher by my own mind and way. I would have never have done those kind of things. Still, sometimes I look at it and say, how did I even get here? Knowing where I come from and what I was, it seemed impossible. When I was in school, I like telling this story because when I was in school, I was so backward about speaking or anything like that. I had a class. I had to give a 3-minute oral report. And I had to stand up and give this report. And I'm going to tell you, the whole class is there. We had to watch one another. And I don't know why it was so bad on me, but I got up there to do that report, and I was so excited that I just took off real fast doing this report. And it was so fast that everybody starts laughing. And that was embarrassing enough to even be up there. And then they was laughing at me. So the teacher quiets them down, and I start again. And I think I went faster the second time than I did the first time. And everybody erupts in laughter, and they wouldn't stop laughing. So the teacher said, "Okay, Marty, you can just sit down, and you can do it tomorrow." I said, "There ain't no way I'm doing this tomorrow. I'm doing it now, or I ain't doing it all." And I had to do a 3-minute humiliation in front of the class. And I never would have thought that I would ever stand up before people and do anything. And I never got saved saying I'd do it either. But you know what I got saved saying? "Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go any... Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do anything." And you know, after that, in the course of my life, I would pray to the Lord, "Lord, you help me, and I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll do anything, Lord. I want to be faithful. I'll do anything." And you know what the Lord started doing with me? It wasn't like it was some... It was different than school. My teacher never worked me by stages and said, "Marty, I know it's a little hard on you, so all I'm going to have you to do today, starting off, is to stand up. All you got to do is stand up and sit back down. And then the next day you can stand up and say hello to the class and work with..." God will work. The teacher didn't work with me like that. But you know, God knew me, and he started working with me and working to me and working until the point that the Lord worked me up, and I was preaching and didn't know I was preaching. I was doing Sunday, worked me into Sunday school, and all of a sudden in the Sunday school, I didn't realize it till my sister started telling me, "Hey, we get 2 services on Sunday. You preach the first one, then Brother Sammons preaches." "No," I said, "I do, I'm teaching." "You're preaching. You just stand down there, but you're preaching." All of a sudden I realized, I'm preaching. The Lord got me right. You know, the Lord will lead your life. All you got to do is seek you first the kingdom of God. He'll lay out the path. He'll do what you need to do. You don't have to do it. The benefits of this is, this scripture was, he was talking about these natural things, but the Lord says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, he listed some of the, all of the things, but it surely isn't all of it, isn't it? Just food and raiment isn't all of it, is it? No, he said, all these things that you worry about, that you would make worry in your mind. We serve an Almighty God. We see a line right there. We see a place that it looks like we're in danger. We ain't danger to God. You think God sitting down worried? Oh, I can't handle this one. God, that's not what God's thinking about our lives when he puts us. Well, no, we're thinking about that, but God isn't thinking about, "Oh, I'm just about to lose them. They're going to die and I can't help it. I can't keep them from being sick. Or I can't keep them from going." God ain't sitting and thinking that. He's Almighty God. He's got it in control. And he's saying to us, I think if we, a lot of times when trouble hits us, I think when we start dealing with that trouble, a lot of times we're hitting the wrong place. I think we ought to be seeking first the kingdom of God. I think God wants to add all this. God wants to take care of that. One of my little benefits. I was in Myrtle 1 year. And after I left Myrtle, I found a little tick stuck between my fingers right there. And I took that tick off and never thought too much about it. About 2 weeks later, I was at Guthrie, leaving Guthrie, going back to South Carolina. And my hand was inflamed around here. And there was a white spot there, and it was itching me, and I kept thinking, what happened to my hand? And I remembered when I got about over to Holly Hill, I remembered that little tick stuck right there. I got over there in Holly Hill and it was 100 degrees over there hot. And I took the fever and chilling and I broke out in this rash on my body and started just ticking all this. And I'm saying, I got something from the, I don't know this. I'm telling you, benefit of the Lord. What difference? It don't matter then. It might matter in the way I deal with things and all that. But I we still serve God. And you know, the Lord, I know the Lord had impressed me for some things that summer. I know the Lord was had inspired my heart with some things that I was supposed to do. And I just prayed to the Lord, Lord, if you want me to fulfill what you've inspired me to do, you're going to have to do something with me. Because if this is going this way, I'm not going to be able to do anything. And you know, the Lord healed me of that all. Healed it. And because we serve God. We serve God. Those things are still subject to God. I think God let that all happen. I don't know what it was or how to diagnose it. But I don't have to either. I just know I was needing help. And there was a benefit to seeking first the kingdom of God. Lord, I'm not doing this for my own. I'm not trying to promote myself. My name won't be lifted up. But Lord, I'm going to do something for your kingdom. I wanted to, and you know, the Lord, he gave me part of the all here. He gave me something, and all this shall be added to you. He gave me a little bit of the all involved in that. He so do first place in our life, folks. Just, help, Lord, help us to put him for. You're supposed to work, but you don't work past putting God first. You put God first and you work. I know workaholics. I don't know about that. You would never accuse me of one, being one. But if you want to, you really, really like to work, you just work. It'd be good. Just seek God first. Don't let work be God. Let God be God. You like to play? Well, you know, it seems like God kind of made us playful. I think God gave us this humor and this playful stuff in holiness. But seek God first. Seek God first. And let everything filter around what God leads you to do. I want to look at another scripture in 1 Kings. In the 10th verse of this, it's talking about Elijah. It says, when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. I don't know. Some of these scriptures, you know, I got to think about it a little bit. I can imagine me going somewhere and saying, hey, woman, get me a drink. Excuse me? Get your own drink. Now who's going to get a drink? Get him a drink. You know how people are. I'm going to tell you something. Here comes the man of God. Here's a widow woman. Needy. And yet he says, get me a drink. Elijah, what you doing? Go over and help her with those sticks. Well, Elijah, you ought to be getting water for her. No. Because there's a place that every one of us need to come to learn how to put God first. I'm going to die. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm running out of means. I'm going to have to do something. Yeah, you are. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If it's not this way, folks, and I know the contradiction in our minds of doing for ourselves and seeking the kingdom first. But if what we said first is true, that there is an eternal almighty God that loves and cares for us, then it's right to seek him first. If we're not believers, we ought to go do our own thing. We ought to try to do the best we can to supply our needs. But if we are believers of that one that claimed himself to be I am in existence. It means the self-existent one. Nobody has to help him exist. He's self-existent. I am what? I am God. I am light. I am love. I am strength. I am ability. I am whatever you need me to be. I rule and own it all. That's what God is. So Elijah comes in the name of that God and says to this woman, as an ambassador of God, a representative of God, has now come into this woman's life, and he says to her, you're in the process of the things of your life, but get me a drink. Lord, help us. Because it's easy to say, get your own drink. But here, this woman says, says, and she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Well, that's pretty gloomy. That's all the hope she had left. Great famine, all these things, and everything's run out. And right there in the midst of all of the, what do you call it? Despair? Hopelessness? Lack and need? Elijah says, make a man of God something to eat first. Fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Well, you know, that sounds like a real hard place. Brother James, can you imagine going to some woman with that little and saying, you make me a cake. I'm hungry. You make me a cake, and then whatever's left, you make you a little cake for you and your son. You imagine saying something like that? But there was something else with Elijah. It was the Spirit of God. They was the God that created the barrel, the grain that made the meal, the air, the sunshine. God's got all the ingredients in his hands, and he gives out to the earth to make this meal to start with. He still got it. God still got the recipe of everything he ever done. Still got the blueprints of your body. He knows how your body works. He knows what ails it. He knows how to fix it. He knows how to take it out of there. He knows how to tell it to stop or start. Still God. Remember when Jesus was out on the ship and he was asleep and the great tempest come and his disciples were there on the ship and they was tossed to and fro, and they finally went to Jesus and woke him out and say, you care not that we perish? Okay, we drown out here in the sea. Really? Then Jesus gets up and says to the peace be still. And it all the elements obeyed him as much as they wondered, what manner of man is this? Even the elements obey him. God's got the blueprints. He knows that. He's the one that started the wind. He's the one that tells it to stop. So this is the same God. And what does he ask of us? Nothing great, folks, because there's nothing great in us. He just simply says, make me a cake first. That's all he's asking. Make me a cake first. Live your life with God first in everything that you do. All these other things is not wrong. Many of them are wrong things, but many things aren't wrong. Now, if you seek God first, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just God wants our devotion. And he adds to this, and this is what happened in this woman's life. I'm going to tell you, God sent this prophet to this woman at that time. And she obeyed. She made him a cake first. And that little bit of meal in there, let's go ahead and read it. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, Neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I'm so thankful for that scripture. Because over and over in my faith, I've had to look at the bottom of a barrel. I've had to look down in the deep down. It's not full barrel. It isn't brimming over the end. I looked down, way down into the bottom of the barrel, and I can see a little of the bottom. A little bit of stuff on it. How many times I've had to look and say, Lord, the barrel's about dry. How many times that the Lord makes that meal just keep coming? Keep coming. Keeps adding to it. Keeps adding to it when you can't even know where it comes from. The Lord has proven himself over and over and over again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I went and stopped over to my mom's one. It was years ago. I was going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama for a tent meeting. And I stopped over in my mother's and had a little visit with my mom before I left. And as I was leaving, my mom reached me something. She reached me some bills, some money. And I said, what's that, Mom? And she said, well, the man upstairs has been talking to me. Kind of. The man upstairs has been talking to me. It was very touching to me. She'd never done it. I was touched with it, but you know, I went on. You know, a lot of places it just don't, nothing happened, didn't come. You know what supported that trip? I didn't know where it would come from, but God did. I've had what we call sectarian support me in the work of the Lord. God can fill the barrel up any way God sees to fill the barrel up. God can make it keep going any way God wants to keep it going. He's promised here, you make me a cake first. And that barrel and that cruise won't run out.
Amen.
Do you know, I believe I can boldly proclaim today, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, your barrel won't run out. And there'll be times, folks, that you're going to need courage. You might think you're real strong and you got it all on hand now, but there's going to be a time that your courage is going to falter you. You're going to need courage. And there's courage in the barrel. God will give us courage when we need courage. God will give us grace when we need grace. I'm glad it's that way. Got to a place in my life one time. I've told this many times, but I got to a place in my life one time. My wife was dying. I was out of prayers. Pretty much, I'd prayed all I could pray. The only thing I could say to the Lord one night was, Lord, I'm at the end of my rope. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I wasn't thinking about turning back on the Lord. I wasn't giving up. I wasn't like that. I was just drained totally out. I'd come to the end of my rope. I didn't know what the next moments might even be. And I told the Lord, I've run out. I'm at the end of my rope, Lord. I'm done. Help me. You know, it was like, I will tell you, it was like the windows opened. I felt God just pour down over my soul, encouraged, inspired me, and gave me the understanding at the same moment, you're going to make it. He didn't change the circumstances, but he gave me a grace. It come from seeking first. Nothing else could do it. You know, I remember seeing a Powerball lottery sign one time. $10 million right there about the same time. And I looked at that with disgust and said, couldn't help me a bit. $10 million wouldn't help me a bit. You can't buy what I need. But God had it. God has it for us. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he, it says, and he and her house did eat many days. Now, wait a minute. There's no meal in the barrel. There's no wool to mix it with. How did he do it? Folks, it's All of those elements has always been His. We take it and work with it. We put it into the ground. It grows up. We do all. We work with it. But the recipe's the Lord's. He knows how to make grain. He knows how to make meal. He knows how to fill barrels. And folks, if we'll learn to seek You first, and this principle of putting God first goes all the way back to the beginning of time. You know the difference between Cain's offering? I mean, I know you can get into the theological part of its meaning of the blood sacrifice and all, but you know what the real idea there is between Cain and Abel? Abel's sacrifice had definition. You go look and see how it sells. The fact thereof, it had some definition. And Cain went and got an offering. He said he went and got an offering from the ground. He didn't say it was his best. He didn't say he worked hard for it, that he had some mind toward it, that it meant something. He didn't do any of that. The problem was one gave his best and put God first, and the other one didn't. And one would be blessed, and the other one wasn't, and the other one was right there ready for trouble. There was a couple of different people in the scriptures. One was a man who was a rich man, and his field brought forth plenty. I'll ask you this question. Who made his field to bring forth plenty? Who did it? He was good, wasn't he? He did everything right, and he kept the locusts away, and he made sure it didn't frost in the bad times, and he made sure plenty of rain fell. No, he didn't do any of that. God made his fields to increase. And then when he looks at it all, there's no seeking first the kingdom of God. You know there's nothing wrong with you being a rich man, and there's nothing wrong with your fields bringing forth. If you'd plant them, you'd want them to bring forth plentiful, wouldn't you? So what's the wrong of any of that? And do you know even further than that, there's nothing wrong with going and building barns to put it in? There's something desperately wrong when you say, now I've got it set, now I can say to my soul, take its ease. He didn't put God in it. God should have been the first order of it, not the last. Should have put God in it to start with. Thank You, Lord, for Your increase of these things. What good thing would I do with Your things, Lord? How would You want me to do it? That's putting God first. First, Lord, You're first in my life. Why do You want this? And what do You want done with it? We should always do that. We should always do it. Amen. This man was called, the scripture says, thou fool. This, that. Shall that soul be required of you this night? There was another man in the Bible who was well off. We call him the rich young ruler. That's because what scripture called him. Was his name Job? Steve? Bob? What was his name? Rich young ruler. Identity. That's his identity. And he comes with something in his heart. Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Do you really want to know? Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Don't seek your money first. Don't put your money first. Don't put your reputation first. Don't put your identity first. Put God first. As simple as that. You put God first, even being a good manager of such things. God may have said, you've been a faithful servant, and that was his least. Now I'm going to make you ruler over it all, because I can trust you with it. You know what this man did? He went away sorrowful. The Lord taught him, said, go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor, and take up your cross, and follow me. And it was said the man went away sorrowful, for he was. And what was his great failure? Having money was his great failure. Being rich and successful was his great failure. None of those was his failure. His failure was not putting God first. He lacked one thing. He didn't put God first. You know, of all the things that we do, it comes to nothing if we don't put God first. The blessings of God will rain upon us if we put God first. And you know, that's all the way. You want help from the Lord. Can I tell you something? You want help. You get in a place you want help from the Lord. I'll tell you a place that's never failed in my life. He says that a broken and a contrite heart he would not despise. I'm going to tell you, every time I get to that place, to where I can pour without reserve, I can pour my soul out to the Lord. Just pour my heart out to the Lord. He's never failed to come and meet me and help me. When you seek God with all your heart, He'll be found. He'll make Himself known. He told some folks once, or I think it was Paul told them on Mars Hill, that God wasn't a God far off, but He was very nigh to you. And the language there, if you look into it, he says that you may feel after him. The idea is that a blind man can grope. He's so close that a blind man could grope and find him. To everyone that seeks him first. Seek God first in your life. And you all these things. You have emotional. You have needs. You have things in your life. You have places in your life. You have these little things of character that you just never can quite get a hold of. God's got a path. We want lightning and thunder and instantaneous things. But God has a path for those that put him first. That takes care of those. He'll take us. All of a sudden we've got to deal with those. And God will deal with us in our life. So I want to leave this little thought with you today. Seek ye first. If you got something that you feel like is kind of challenging you, maybe it's not really wrong, but it's kind of challenging to your experience, I want to recommend you something. You seek the kingdom of God first. And you'll find out that if you start doing that, that this thing will lose interest anyway. This thing will come back into its proper perspective in your life. You pray for me.